Hi, you're listening to Quality Time Broadcast.
I'm just going to do it one more time.
Quality Time, video games, all the girls, comedy and matches. Quality Time, video games, all the girls, comedy and matches.
Welcome back, Quality Timers, to part two of Con Air. That's
Whoa.
Right. Yeah, bitches.
Whoa.
Is you ready? Is you ready?
Is I? I don't even know if I is.
I don't know if I is either, Kimberly Amorosa. So I got a high level of shit from multiple people saying this two-parter for Con Air. Yeah, it's that deep. That's how in-depth we
got
with
James
fucking
Finn.
Con Air. So again, just a quick intro. My name is Eric Woodworth. Yay!
Yay!
Oh my God, welcome. I'm really funny. It's cool. I'm the host here. And to my left is none other than the very lovely, the very pregnant Ms. Kimberly Amorosa.
Ooh!
Ooh, how you doing, Kim Dog?
Lady sounds.
She's ready. She's ready.
Drunk, right?
We turn up.
Out of me. I want to be a woman again and not a dumb man.
And that voice right there, that's actually Rob Mayer that you're hearing. That's Rob Mayer, everybody.
Rob Mayer, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I'm Rob Mayer. I'm the greatest DC comic of all time. Hey, everybody, I'm Rob Mayer.
He's the greatest South African comic of all time.
I was on Heart of the City, and I just want to say it's great being on Quality Time.
Why does he sound like someone who, one, wears glasses, and two, pushes them up with his finger?
Yeah.
Look, when you get to be as big of a comedian as me, you can talk as shit as you want, but I'm Rob Mayer.
Why does Rob, your Rob Mayer impersonation sounds like he just loves the taste of Smuckers?
Rob Mayer loves the taste of Smuckers if they would only give me a $100,000 endorsement. I'm also Alan Alda.
Alan Alda.
If it tastes like Smuckers, it has to be Rob Mayer.
Yeah. So no, we just decided to do a special intro. Rob isn't here, but he's on this this whole hour coming up.
Actually, my real fake thing is I'm Pink from The Singer today. So
I know you are Pink from The Singer.
If you had told me 5 years ago that we had been broken up, I would have punched you in the face. I'm Pink.
She's so hard.
Now I'm Pink. I like how Pink. I've never heard a more aggressive embodiment of Pink.
I am 100 times more manly than Lady Gaga.
There's no amount of lotion that can take the callus out of those knuckles.
Yep, that's right. Anyway, thank you very much, Quality Timers, for joining us once again. Again, this is part two of Con Air. And if you're listening to this, make sure you throw us a 5-star rating on the iTunes and the Stitcher. We would really appreciate it. We'll read it on the air. One of those episodes is coming up real soon, so definitely get your bid in.
Tell a friend.
Yeah, tell a friend. Don't be a bitch about it. Fucking be like, yo, what are you listening to at work? Say, yeah boss, you want to know what I'm listening to? Something more important than this fucking job. How about that?
Hey, big boss applesauce.
Yeah.
Say that.
And no, we really appreciate it, guys. So any support you can throw the show, throw us a little love because we love you guys. So without further ado, here is part two of Con Air.
What happened with Eric last night, Kim? It was all white guys at this event?
Yeah.
All white. Why? Guess why they went to the Kevin Hart concert.
Yeah, I
no,
went to Kevin
stop.
Hart show.
Yeah,
I went
guess,
to go see
guess
Kevin
what
Hart.
The occasion was. Guess what the occasion was of these white guys
you
going to
You said bachelor
this.
Party. I'm yeah. assuming
oh,
it was...
Oh, did you say I mentioned
somebody's
part.
Getting married?
I married yes. it. Yeah, one of my okay. a buddy of mine is getting married. So we went to a bachelor party, and we went to go see Kevin Hart live
was
in Baltimore.
Was Girls Trip wow. not on, on demand or something?
So wait, okay, your friend is... older than 32,
yes.
and there is already a kid involved.
No.
Damn.
No
okay.
No kids involved.
I'm thinking like fun show, early is, night, tuck in, call it a day.
This is the whole thing. We get there. My old roommate, Shawnee, planned this whole thing.
Shawnee.
But listen, he did it. He did it the smart way. He didn't do a group text. He texted us all individually. He just said, hey, we're going to bachelor party. This is what he wants to do. He wants to see Kevin Hart. By the time when we all got together, when it's all paid for, I was like, yeah, it's kind of weak that we're going to see Kevin Hart tonight. And we all started talking to each other. Nobody wants to see Kevin Hart. Nobody in the entire bachelor
oh
party
God.
Wanted to go see it. It was all just Shawnee's plan because he wanted to go see Kevin Hart.
For $85 a ticket,
right.
parking.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Right. So he just orchestrated his own bachelor fun night, with not for this guy at all.
Damn it, he was in Jumanji.
Yes, he was. He's in a lot of movies with The Rock.
That would be like if my bachelorette party was just like secretly like tell everybody, like, everybody just meet at the Home Depot parking lot. And then we just go in and I pick a grill I want to buy. And we leave.
That's pretty much
Thank
the same
you, ladies.
Thing. Pretty much the same thing. Now, the people at the airport start to catch on, but it is too late. The plane is getting ready to take off. Cyrus shoots some dude in the head. And Dave Chappelle is running on the side of the plane. And they appear to take off without him. Man, what a bunch of dicks.
I know, really? Like, he made this happen.
Yes.
He was integral in this shit. And he's funny.
Yeah, and it wasn't impossible to get him on the plane at this point. Like, they had already shot the first guy who was chasing him. And Cyrus is just like, way to go, loser.
I love how Rob prioritizes things. Like, you're like, we have to get away from the cops. We have a scheduled flight where these people are waiting for us. We have to hide the fact that a bunch of people are dead. And besides, he's funny.
Right.
Like, why did we lose him?
They kept the rapist and got rid of the comedian.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They then, for some reason, switch to seeing Miss Poe sitting at the airport waiting for her husband. They send a U.S. Marshal to go meet her. For some reason, at the airport, to tell her personally, we need you to come with us. The plane's not coming. And they go, okay. Like, why they think she's an integral part of this and why they like she needs to be part of it is beyond me.
So it can be sad for them.
Yeah, yeah. So
they're setting it up for her to be like involved where she's going to hear her husband die for a brave reason on the phone.
Like it's Armageddon or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what we realize at this point now, we see that baby's situation is deteriorating. He's really needing some insulin. He's not doing good. Larkin is arguing back now that they realize that the plane's been hijacked officially. He's arguing with Duncan that he thinks that we have a good guy on the plane. He thinks that Poe is a good guy.
Yeah, and Cusack was on board early that Poe was good peeps.
But he has
the body was already dropped with the name on it.
This wasn't the body drop yet. Larkin just realizes that Poe is an ally because he slipped the tape recorder in one of the guys that slipped off. So like one of the guys that they actually took off the plane, he slipped a tape recorder in there, and that's how he kind of found out that maybe Poe is an ally at this point. He also says, why didn't he get off? Ooh, like he's clearly a noble person at this point. So Duncan doesn't think so, and he wants to blow the plane out of the sky. Duncan hops in some helicopters to go blow up the plane, which is, I know a little bit about aviation, a little bit, not a lot. Do helicopters, they can't catch like jets, right?
No.
Like
they
can't
they can't
go after them. Like there's usually a slower moving.
They cannot
craft.
Reach that altitude. They can't and they go cannot that go high. That fast.
Yeah. Only Apaches.
Yeah,
basically, maybe. In this, he's now Brian Dennehy, and Nicolas Cage is Rambo.
And those are the least badass looking, supposedly badass helicopters you've ever seen.
Yeah, they're not really military grade at all. No. They look like fucking regular helicopters. They threw some armor on to make it look like
definitely Apaches. Come on,
they are fake Apaches. They're fake not Apaches, real. Apaches.
I'm surprised when he slid the door closed, somebody didn't hand him a bag lunch.
They're cultural appropriated Apaches.
Yeah. So Poe gets the undesirable job to go check out the landing gear back on the plane because apparently the landing gear didn't come up on the way, and that's where they find the dead body of Pinball who tried to get up in there. So Dave Chappelle has a the most light-skinned he's ever looked. He's like frozen. And Poe comes up with a plan while he's down there to write a giant note on his chest real quick. So he takes out a Sharpie. He writes a note to Larkin, which I have no idea how he knows who Larkin is.
Yeah, good point.
Like, how does he know who... that Larkin's gonna find this.
I mean, but hey, like, bigger, more important point here. Who the fuck cares?
Like, I just don't get Nicolas Cage. I don't get it.
How can we make this exactly like Die Hard?
How many times were we overseas on the murder mystery where we needed a Sharpie and we didn't have one?
We didn't.
And I brought like 17 in my bag. Yeah. We're on a base where they need us to sign things, but this guy, he has a Sharpie at the ready.
Immediately has a Sharpie ready.
If there's
to go.
Only a way I could drop the body off this plane in a chair with explosives. That would make a message to the police that I'm a good guy on this plane. So,
but It is pretty epic, though. He pushes Dave Chappelle's body out.
It was pretty great.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
And it absolutely destroys an elderly couple
in the middle of a city.
Car. Yeah.
It's every so other good. Scene when they land, they're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they fly like 4 miles and it's in New York City.
They're over New York. Yeah.
That ought to get the attention. Next we learned that
hold on, who was that guy? That was somebody that's been in movies, that the driver of that car.
I didn't catch that.
I didn't recognize him, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
We could probably look through the full cast. Catch us on the end of the show to see if we can find out who that is.
After the credit scene.
James Finn would know.
No, I bet you Matt Cannon, when he listens to this, will chime in. It was this guy.
Gotcha. Wilford Brimley.
We'll get super fan Matt Cannon on this. Matt, you have homework. Find out who the guy was whose car got crushed. Next, we learn that Garland Green is maybe an ally. So Steve Buscemi kind of buddies up with Poe just a little bit, and he realizes maybe he's not such a monster until the next time they talk. Larkin interviews Poe's wife, which, why is he talking to his wife? I don't know. She's not sure why why he's on that plane, but it must be a good reason. That's the only thing that she says. She's I don't know why he's on that plane, but it must be a good reason.
Let's break this down. She has an 8-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. She is alone. They have taken her. They said, we have a jet ready. They jetted her to another location so she could wait it very patiently for someone. She doesn't know who. And then, unfortunately for her, John fucking Cusack shows up looking like a fucking wash or whatever. He sits down and he's like, thank you for your time. Thank you for getting on a plane, coming here, bringing your child. Thank you for dealing with the disappointment of not seeing your baby's father after so long. Thank you for coming all this way and then waiting for me. Why do you think he's still on that plane? She's like, I don't know. He's like, good talk. All right, well, I'm going to fuck off now and deal with this like a man. Like, she couldn't have had that on the phone? That's
but she
a phone
also
conversation.
Didn't seem, where was the urgency? She's not like she was medicated. Like, a normal woman would be, wife would be like, why the fuck isn't he here? Yeah. What do you mean he's still on the plane? Why would he do that?
Yes.
I've been waiting for 8 years. I'm raising this kid. Get off the fucking plane. She's like, okay, that's what he does.
And then you put us in fucking coach on Southwest. Right. God damn it.
So, Larkin, while he's sitting there, gets news of the body that is dropped instantly because, they couldn't figure out the plane got hijacked that fast, but the second a body randomly drops in the middle of a city,
they know immediately who to call.
We got to call John Cusack. So he tries to go and call Larkin, who's in the choppers chasing the wrong plane. You know, he's now realized they're on the wrong track. They're over at this spot. They're definitely not in the right direction. Duncan hears this news and basically calls him a faggot for even suggesting something so dumb.
This amazing clue that literally dropped out of the sky that is like a smoking gun that changes everything. He's like, nah.
Shut up, nerd.
Coincidence.
But I love when they tell him on the phone. And he's like, so a body fell out of the sky. And he's like, the fuck does that have to do with me? Aren't you having a plane problem right now?
Exactly.
That involves the sky? How would you not put two and two together?
This seems like this is exactly the kind of information you'd be looking for.
All he's thinking about, damn, what kind of turtle wax I can use on my Corvette next week? Damn it.
Yeah. So now Billy Bedlam and Poe are still in the belly of the plane, all right, after they fixed the landing gear. So problem solved. They're flying fast again.
That sounds like an Edgar Allan Poe story. Billy Bedlam on me.
In the belly of the
belly
plane.
Of the plane.
You know a really good game for Vectrex is called Bedlam?
Yes, I do know about that, Jeremy. Thank you for that reference. Listen, that's a real deep cut, but at least I knew that one.
That's a rapist cut.
Billy picks up the little bunny that's going to be the gift for his daughter out of Nicolas Cage's
big
personal
mistake.
Belongings. And he goes, put the bunny back in the box. And then they have a fucking crouching fight, which is, I don't know why.
Funniest tiny
so
fight
hard.
Ever. Yes.
They're so unmanly as they slowly crouch towards each other to have a fist
fight. Well, they're like at 90 degree angles and they run at each other. Let's just think about this. You're not going to pull anything off with your hands coming towards them. You're just going to hit coconut skulls like a cartoon and everybody falls over sideways. Like, what did they think was going to happen? happen.
maybe a pipe might come unloose and somebody might get impaled on it.
Yeah, that made no sense. It seems like that Cage constantly has conflict with people.
Yeah.
But yet he got through prison with zero issues.
Yes.
Good behavior.
Yeah.
But every second out of prison, one person gives him a dirty look, he's got to call him on it.
Yes.
Don't touch the bunny. Some stupid thing she's never seen before. Doesn't mean anything.
Maybe that's the thing. It's because he's free now. He feels like he could kill everyone again. When he was in prison, I understand. I'm on lock and key. But now that I'm a free man in the Con Air, I can go and start impaling people downstairs.
He's headed back to prison. Let's be honest.
It's like when somebody does one exciting thing in their life and they talk about it forever. Like, well, excuse me. When I was in prison,
I want somebody to write a movie where there's this big, giant, sharp impediment that's all of a sudden introduced to the movie, and like nobody actually goes on to an accident. And then after the fight, man, I feel like just leaning back on. Oh, damn! Thing just.
That's our next murder mystery: accidental impalement.
Die Laughing Productions does leaning back on sharp things.
Lean on me.
Damn it!
We're all going to sing that song at the end.
Starring River Phoenix.
We could almost get him.
So, Larkin arrives at Lerner Airfield because he knows where they're headed. He says, they're headed at Lerner. I'm going to go there. He takes Duncan's Corvette, his blue Corvette, drives it there.
The keys are just sitting in it or something.
Yeah, because he's a dickhead who parks handicap and then leaves his keys in the car.
Which is actually nice, because if a handicapped person needs it, they can just get in his car, move it, and then get in that spot.
But did you see the car that they showed as his car?
Maybe we have Duncan pegged wrong. Maybe he is a nice guy, actually.
They made the Duncan's like sports car look so much better by putting this like if the Mirthmobile had aged 18 years and no one cared about it. Like there's like paper stuck to the windows for no reason and it's crusty. Like, doesn't this guy have like an important job?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is he spending his money on?
Shitty car. His clothes didn't fit that well.
Yeah.
He has been doing nothing since Star Trek The Next Generation, let's be honest. He's gone completely downhill. Larkin arrives early. The cons go to land the plane. There's no air traffic control at all. So as they land, they almost collide with another plane that's there. Which, by the way, where the fuck is air traffic control at in this Mad Max fucking airport?
He's been stabbed to death in the tower.
Stabbed to death in the tower. But,
and what are the odds of this airport, in quotes, that has like four flights land a year, two land at the exact same time?
Yes, this is the one chance. Like, oh, damn it, Gil, you had one job, and it was to make sure the four flights got off and not hit each other. Oh, jeez.
Can I go back to impediments being stabbed with people impaled?
You just did.
Well, you did it.
You know, if you get impaled by Schwarzenegger first time, you say, blow off steam, Benny.
Yeah.
No, that's wrong. It's called blow off steam because he killed the guy from Mad Max. And then if you kill the guy from Total,
if you kill the guy from Total Recall,
you drill him and you say, "Screw you, Benny." Yeah. Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm taking it back.
No, do seven it's more good. Of those.
Wait a minute.
Okay, he kills Red Sonja and he says,
God damn it.
Sorry. Okay, here's your tampax up your vagina.
Every time I lower myself onto a road cone, I go, oh, it's a roadblock. like that.
It's the end of the road.
That's my go-to line.
Every time I eat a sandwich, I'm like, this is good. No, that's not good.
Sorry.
You call that a Hogan's hero?
That's not double meat.
William Dafoe will beat you with the camera thing, okay?
Jeremy, I was worried about the bit you just brought up, and we saved it. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, it was saved.
Thank God there were people of actual intelligence here.
Now it's the name of the episode.
So Cyrus asks his cartel connect, where is the fucking plane? Because they don't see where their plane is that they're now going to get on and escape it.
Classic virus.
because now that they've almost crashed Con Air is a little bit disabled, but it might work. But it's definitely crashed and stopped like right before it hit a propane tank. It was very intense. Yes. Very intense crash.
He could have just pulled up instead of landing right at that time.
Yeah.
It's like it just
no,
circle
this is
around.
It. Oh, gosh.
They could have done the edit where as soon as they just like ting against the propane and explodes.
Ding. That would have been good.
I Joe like Robinson that. Would argue if it's a propane tank or not.
Yes, he would. It's clearly an oxygen tank. They don't use propane on a plane. It's mislabeled.
Ridiculous.
They're like, let me guess. Are they worried about sharks in the middle of the desert? Is that where they have to have them?
How many things has Joe written down thus far in the episode that we've said incorrect things?
Seven, at least.
It's almost doubled. It's in the 5 to 9 range. Yeah. For sure.
I am a moron, and I deserve to be corrected every other minute.
It's now 12.
Poe then stops Diamond Dog from killing the rest of the guards there.
Diamond Dog.
Saying, we need to keep him as leverage. And then, once again, Malkovich is watching. He's just like, he's got a good point, Diamond Dog.
I like when he calls him Mr. Dog.
Mr. Dog.
I don't think that was a good point, by the way. I think at this point, you have no leverage.
He's floundering.
They're going to kill you the second they see you.
Exactly. Garland wanders off and finds a little girl in an abandoned swimming pool.
Very weird.
Which is, okay, this is a desolate airport, except there's a trailer park with a fucking real creepy swimming pool, and there's just one little girl that's there, and the serial killer is
now fine.
In a nice
dress for some reason. She's not in her play clothes.
Yeah. Better hope Danny Trejo doesn't find this place.
24. I'm sitting here with this little girl, and we're trying to get some service, and I haven't been given coffee in at least 5 minutes. I should have gotten coffee at least 2 or 3 times by now, so.
We also find that the trans guy goes, and you think he's looking for supplies? No, he finds a dress.
Immediately. There's just a suitcase will close in this.
Because he's trying to get kicked out of the army.
Oh my gosh, what is in this? Oh! Screams. It's very comical because it's fun to make fun of trans
people. But
it's
weird
in the
90s. Then at the end, he does re-enlist. Yeah. So it's like weird.
That actor also has one name. Did you see that?
What's that? What do we got
it's
here?
It's the only, probably the only one name person. It's like, you know,
Sting?
Rolello or it's some sassy name.
Sassy.
Yeah.
Looking through here. Let's see. Let's find this.
Like that. He might be some sort of drag queen. I'm pretty sure because I watched the credits and they flashed
RuPaul.
His name up. It was similar to RuPaul.
Rand Paul.
But it was Rand Paul.
It was Rand Paul.
I can't even have sex with Rand Paul.
Rand Paul Rodriguez.
I'll have to go back and search
I'll find
the notes.
It. I'm not really paying attention. I'll just do this instead.
Poe goes and he offers I jumped way ahead here. Okay. After he stops that, the trans guy finds a dress. The prisoners decide to start digging out the plane as plan B. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they're all working feverishly to get this plane back on track, which now it's just like, why did we even land? Why do we even land? We're just, I guess, to refuel, if anything.
Seventh inning stretch.
So Poe decides that he's going to go look for fuel and tells him that he's going to go look for the fuel.
They're awfully trusting of him at this point.
You'd think
that they would have at some point got a little more suspicious.
Poe runs over to the hangar and finds that there are some ne'er-do-wells in there and that aren't the cons. It's actually the drug cartel in there with their little plane that is obviously just wants to pick up their one guy at this point. So he immediately has a karate fight with those guys. Because, you know, what else are you doing?
He hasn't fought anybody in prison in 10 years, but he's still got it.
He's still got it. Still fucking got it. So
mostly because, America, fuck yeah. You know what I mean?
No, that's right.
While he starts off this fight, Trejo is up there, Johnny 23. He sees the cops coming in the distance. And then immediately as he sees them, way out there, he's like, how long we got? He's like, 10, maybe 12
Long
minutes
enough
tops.
To rape, probably. Yep.
Like, why does this rapist, he's now the authority.
He's trying
on
to
how
beat
much
his own record.
Got, right? And he's like, I know when I see cops out in the distance in a desert and we have exactly 10 minutes. It's just ridiculous. In the hangar, Poe takes out the cartel members with the karate and then ends up guns pointed. It's him and John Cusack looking at each other, having stare off with guns drawn.
Yeah, not quite as cool as John McClane and Al meeting each other finally in Die Hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know why? I think that it comes down to one factor, though.
The K-12.
John Cusack didn't shoot a kid. If he had done that, then we would have believed that, all right, this guy's a badass.
You ever see a scene in a movie where, like, you don't care who lives or dies? You know? You're just there for the entertainment purposes?
He has a little heart-to-heart with him, and he says, why did you stay on the plane? He says, I couldn't leave a man behind.
Jesus Christ. Like, but you left your daughter for 10 fucking years.
First of all, Bubba...
Easily, yeah.
Bubba, I don't know why he thinks prison is the army. You understand? He takes the army ranger mentality. He thinks Bubba signed up for this. Like, he thinks his cellmate is a guy who's he's doing a tour with, right?
I want the new Spider-Man to die.
Why is that?
Because he's no Tobey Maguire.
I agree.
Damn right.
Agreed, Jeremy. Agreed.
I was waiting for some sort of pun or something.
You have me one of these too, Jeremy?
Never. Hells yeah. I'm drinking.
I need another beer.
I'm drinking Raging Bitch.
A reach.
Cam, you want a beer?
The end of this thing. You're drinking for two.
Me and the baby are good. Thank you.
That'll work. Thank you.
Snake dog.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jasmine.
Need an opener?
No.
Do you think a pregnant woman has ever gotten mad when she wasn't offered a beer? Like, at least offer, okay? You don't know. You don't know what kind of person I am. Be a gentleman.
You're not from Dundalk.
So, Hayes.
The answer Larkin, is yes, by the way.
Yeah.
Larkin responds.
Many a trailer park agrees with you.
Larkin responds, what are you going to do for me? And Poe turns around and goes, I'm going to save the fucking day. Which is, this, I don't know. As far as like hokey
he's a hero.
Action lines go, that one is just, this is the best we could do.
How about you
this
don't?
Is the best we
How
could
about
do.
We, Billy, don't be a hero this. You keep your fucking head down and you go home. How about that? Okay? This is stupid.
Because no one actually likes his character.
No. No,
like
his hair is
he's
terrible.
The least interesting person in the entire movie.
Well, no one cares about him, first of all.
Right.
We also see that there's a cartel member still hiding in the plane. So the pilot for the cartel plane is still,
smooth.
Still in there.
This cheeky fucker.
This guy.
The cons are now using ropes and pulleys to get the crashed plane out, and it is a race to get it free.
So Sully Escobar.
As they're all pulling, Dino, the cartel member, decides to make a break for it and run for the hangar. Which,
nice.
Why are you running, like giving away your position? Like,
man.
He knows there's a secret plane there. He could have just casually walked over like Nicolas Cage did 2 seconds ago and clearly gotten away. Right?
Yeah, that was weird. Like, his plan was to obviously run away when it was there the whole time. What was he waiting for?
You see how well planned out everything has been up until this point. And then at the one part of the plan, he's like, and then when I get there, I'm going to help him. As soon as I can, I'm going to go, bye! Like, that was his plan. So Dino runs over to the plane. He boards it, immediately tells him to take off. And he goes, Cyrus sees the plane starting to take off. He goes, that's my fucking plane! Like that. Cusack is thinking fast, though. And he runs over and uses a fucking crane to chop the plane in half.
He immediately knew how to lower that crane.
Immediately.
He just ran up there, immediately knew which button to hit or whatever.
First of all, a couple of things happened. This plane was starting to move. That's when Cusack decided, oh shit, I better go run. So he did the 100-yard dash in about the same amount of time as Usain Bolt does the 100-yard dash. Very white, schlubby white guy was able to do that.
The man
in a
with
full
passion.
Suit. In a full suit, okay? He gets in. There's the keys are there. It works in this dilapidated thing and is able to go and chop this plane in half. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's totally believable.
That plane didn't look that big. I think he'd fit like 6 people on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he still could have taken Cyrus with him, and then this wouldn't have even been a problem.
Right.
Cyrus would have killed everybody. He's like, it's cool, guys. We're going to go check out the plane. They would have left, right? Mm-hmm. It would have been cool. So,
why don't you just go to Cyrus? Look, this is the deal.
Yeah,
the,
it's only
it
us.
Fits like 6 people. So you're in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who the fuck you pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's just kill these people and just leave. We've done it. We've made it. We've won. Why are we trying to pull the plane out of this ditch? Let's just fucking go, dude. Yeah.
You're a cartel drug lord. Why are you scared of this one white dude?
Right. Like,
this
kill him when you get to your destination if you want. I mean, but let's leave.
My stepdad who used to hit me was a white dude, and like I'm triggered right now.
Why didn't they use the crane earlier?
Because they didn't have to chop a plane in half, dude. If they, you know, everybody knows cranes have two purposes: building skyscrapers and destroying planes. There's only two uses for.
But you know what? There was no use for a crane to be is at that airport where there was nothing ever being built.
There was
no reason to have just a random crane there.
Is that what happened on 9/11 to that one that tried to hit Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
A giant crane came
out
and was like, "Not today, bitch."
That's exactly what happened.
That was what happened to Flight 93.
Yes.
That was it. the untold story.
That crane is a hero. Can we have a moment of silence for the crane?
Thank you for that.
Powerful stuff. Nice. Powerful
stuff. So good.
Good
stuff. Cyrus comes over to the chopped up plane. There's fuel leaking everywhere, and he blows up the begging, pleading cartel member. He goes, "Hey, I was just kidding about the thing or whatever."
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And then he chucks a cigarette, which we learned from MythBusters doesn't work, but chucks the cigarette into the gasoline and blows up the plane. And him not knowing that Nicolas Cage is actually in the diner that's attached to it, Nicolas Cage then has to jump out of a window at the last second to evade being blown up.
How many 90s action-esque movie writers do you think quit their job because they were like, no, you can't just like create a multi-explosion from just throwing a lit cigarette like into gasoline? Like, that's not... Yeah. And somebody was like, it doesn't matter. They're going to love it. And they're like, I can't fucking take this anymore.
The MythBusters are ruining the 90s for me.
This is the dilemma with our murder mystery. I'm like, how many ways can we just get Eric naked? We just keep repeating the same thing. That's the cigarette explosion thing.
Look, you're going to sign up on your thing. Either you're walking away from the explosion or you're jumping away from the explosion. That's the only two choices.
Or you're blown away from it.
Oh, that is true. Mm-hmm. Now,
or you're inspired by the fire to lead a better life.
This is a really bizarre...
Thanks, Kim.
Get out the marshmallows.
This is a very bizarre scene that happens right after it. Is that after Poe jumps out of the window, he then goes and rolls underneath the truck, and there's a guy already hiding underneath the truck. It's a guy, just a random dude who's underneath there. I guess he's the store owner. He saw shit's popping off. He's like, well, I better go to my old truck hiding spot underneath here.
This is where I eat my tuna sandwich.
And he's not worried about that little girl that's out there talking to
not
the serial killer.
Right. Not at all.
Is this where the discussion about the lucky quarter and he has to make a choice of heads or tails?
It does remind me of that guy from No Country for Old Men. He does remind me of him. It's very similar.
You were born into it.
We didn't know that Con Air is part of the No Country for Old Men universe. That's pretty
good. He would be, that character would be great on the plane. He would just kill everybody.
Don't put it in your pocket. Keep it separate from those other quarters.
Now, the first thing that Poe asks him, he's just like, do you know where the syringes are? He goes, yeah, there might be one in the thing, but drugs will kill you, son.
Jesus Chrysler.
No Country for Gay Men, the Mike Pence running 2020.
Oh, my God. That's really Matt good. Cannon. That is a meme right there.
We need Cannon to meme that one up.
That's so
Get
funny.
On it, Cannon.
Country for Gay Men.
People are so judgmental when you want a needle all of a sudden. Yeah. Damn it.
Cyrus formulates a plan to take out the marshals coming in because they immediately next find a stockpile of guns and propane, which
obviously
look at this random case here that's just filled with shotguns and stuff. Look, I hand them out to everybody. So
it's like an A-Team episode where everything they need is just right there. Yeah, they just put it together.
Yeah. When you need it, it's there.
Right.
When you
need it, it's
there. So he quickly draws a little plane and he's like, these are the cars. This is that. This is here. What we're going to do is take out the first car and the last car, and the rest will be like fish in a barrel. Do you understand?
What is a barrel?
Sorry, Marty. I didn't have enough time to make it exactly to the same thing that we were planning with our, 80 million gigawatts.
By the way, how long do you think if this Con Air was real life, how long do you think John Malkovich is allowed to talk to Ving Rhames in that tone?
Yeah,
for now. Just fucking flips out. He would just choke him like eventually.
Yeah. He would just rip his arms off and beat him to death with his own arms. Like,
the black gorillas that I know would do that.
I have pride in my black gorillas.
The cops, of course, immediately fall into the trap, and
they're like the Green Berets that have no training.
Yeah, it's like a SWAT team.
Right, they're
everything.
Outsmarted by it.
But they've never done this.
Well, thank God the Boy Scouts Club 32 showed up.
So there's a huge gunfight that happens here. There's propane tanks exploding left and right, and Danny Trejo sees this as his opportunity. Finally, he's just like, fuck, everybody's distracted. It's time to go do some raping. So he goes to the plane to go do some rape time with Officer Bishop. Now, meanwhile, Poe is racing back to the plane because he's found the syringes. So now he's like diving over cars and evading bullets and like saving people's lives and but all the while he's just trying to get back to Bubba because Bubba, goddamn it, needs that insulin so he can save his life.
Because again, this more important than mm-hmm. getting away and getting to your family.
Yes, more important. Yes.
God damn yes. it.
He's clearly a gay man and he's in love with this black guy. Just admit it.
It's another black guy with the sugars. Move on with your life.
There'll be another one to replace him the second he dies.
Have we mentioned this is the chick from Falling Down, the other, the greatest Joel Schumacher film of all time?
Oh, yeah, it
we
is.
We haven't mentioned that, surprisingly.
Like Joel Schumacher.
This is a Joel Schumacher film.
Back to the rape situation.
So back on the...
Thank you, Rob.
Do you think
you.
That Johnny 23, because he probably hadn't seen a female in a while, especially mm-hmm. not one that high, do you think he jerked off at some point during this downtime to get that the rape out of him?
Yeah.
But then he decided it wasn't enough.
Yeah, I guess so. I think he's an opportunist at this right. point because Cyrus has had him on lock, and it's kind of like that, like, whenever, like, if it's a Saturday at my house and my wife goes to take the kids to the grocery yeah. store and I say, hey, make sure you take the other one too. And the second I see that car pull out and all the way down, my pants are already off and I've yes. been listening to the porn that I'm going to watch because I want to understand the audio first.
That's Eric's hashtag her too. Yes, take her too.
Oh my God.
So Poe gets back on the plane and he's able to stop Danny Trejo by punching him around a little bit. And he goes, "You don't treat women like that."
He's yeah, because that'll fix it.
He's
yeah.
Captain America.
Yeah, he's just a great guy. Mm-hmm. Just a great guy.
Because every rapist that's ever been beat up has thought, you know what? I never mm-hmm. thought of that.
I saw the light.
You're so right.
Now, during his time there, he also is able to hook a rope onto the plane so that it couldn't take off. So as the cons start coming back onto the plane, they go take off and they realize the plane is tethered. Like, what the fuck is going on there? And what is it tethered to? It's tethered to Officer Duncan's blue Corvette or whatever his convertible.
You guys.
So as they're trying to
Classic.
Take off, now they're flying with a car dragging behind the plane. And
Is that how they filmed the last scene in Grease?
Yeah, it's very similar.
Oh my God.
That was Grease Lightning. Yeah. That was it.
They're in the car. They're singing.
And
they're singing Summer Lovin'.
We get the comic relief of
it's
sitting
the rapist
there.
Singing Summer right. Lovin'.
We get
it's now a musical.
We get the comedy of watching Duncan go, "Hey, that kind of looks like your car, Chief." He's like, "That's not my car. My car couldn't possibly even be here."
I double yeah. parked. That's not
it's,
me.
It's like 15 miles away. Yeah. And everyone that you know in this little world that's happening is here at this event. But there's no way that car yeah. is also here.
What if he gets nervous and gets on the phone and he's like, "Can you check every handicapped parking spot in right. the city and just make sure?"
I was going to say, I think he was more confused because he's like, "Wait a minute. There's no handicapped parking spaces around here. I couldn't possibly
Don't mess with
car.
The handicap." That's the message of this movie.
Yeah.
You park in a handicap spot, a hijacked plane by serial killers will tow your car into the air and then crash it on the ground.
That's from an Aesop's Fable.
Yes, it's yeah. classic.
So they're able to take off, the car drops, and now the cons are back in the air, back in the sky, and it is celebration time, where we get to hear this little clip from the movie I'm going to play right here.
So good.
Define irony. Bunch of idiots dancing on a plane to a song made famous by a band that died in a plane crash.
True that, though. For
Strong.
Real.
That's yeah. a good line. Yeah. Good Steve Buscemi line.
He's very likable. They have
he
him
is.
In that in the wheelchair thing when he comes out of the originally to transport it onto mm-hmm. the plane. Like he's like, you know, the worst Hannibal Lecter or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then every time you talk to him, he's hey, he's like a nice guy.
And
he's
great.
Right.
Yeah. I feel bad for Steve Buscemi because this is kind of early in his career, and they did this thing where when they take the mask off, you're kind of supposed to react like, "Oh, he's so ugly."
Right.
He totally did this. He's such a monster. But you're right. Every time he talks, like, especially he does this little, like, the first thing he says is kind of about, like, crime profiling.
Yeah. And it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as somebody who loves true crime shit, I'm like, he is actually
That's
right
true.
On point. And
Very
I would love
accurate.
To have a conversation on a plane with this gentleman.
Well, the one thing that we do know about most serial killers, like the really successful ones, really your Bundys, your Gacys, they're actually incredibly charming.
They're charming.
And a lot of times right. the pillars of the society. yeah. where they live. You know, yeah. they put on this mask of being one of the most liked people around so that you would never suspect that they'd be fucking Jeremy Woodworth. You understand? Right. Like, that's
when my friend and I talk about dating, that's a point we like to bring up all the time, is whenever they catch a major serial killer, the neighbors always say the same thing. He was the nicest guy. Just yeah. the nicest guy. He
so
was just
Joe so Robinson he would cannot be a serial killer.
Yeah.
He would help you find books on whales at the library. So, yeah. No, I hate to say this was after Fargo and definitely after Reservoir
was
Dogs.
Was it? Okay, okay.
And so this is like the height of his, almost the height okay. of his career doing right. this lovable part of the psycho.
Well, he was, in Fargo, he was obviously a bad person. So
yeah.
maybe they're... I don't know. He's a
he
great
shot in the
playing
face,
off of that,
but
yeah.
he's so likable.
Yeah. He is. Yeah.
So, I actually, because you know, I do this stupid joke in my act about what celebrity you'd like to have sex with. I've had a woman save Steve Buscemi before.
Really?
That's her number one. Her number one's wow. any guy in the world. Yeah.
Like to have sex with a guy that'll look at you and then look at somebody and who knows wherever. So
I want him to be smart but have a retarded man's teeth. That's my go-to.
The only thing with Steve Buscemi is that if they ever make a real live Ren and Stimpy movie, that he plays Ren. So that's all that matters to me. So
I think we're also overlooking, like, man, how happy must Danny Trejo have been when he showed up? He's like, fuck yes, I'm not the ugliest person here. Like,
finally.
This is so thank you. Steve, can I just tell you something? Can I buy you a beer? Can I call you Steve? Stevie?
He had to snap because Steve's lizard eye wasn't focusing with the other eye while he was talking. He was like, Steve, Stevesy, right here.
For the first time, he had a wingman for the first time in his entire life.
Can you rank him the most to least fuckable in this cast?
We already know what Kim's least fuckable in this cast is. Let's say it together. Nicolas Cage.
Great,
right?
Good
okay.
one. All right. That's a good answer.
Yeah. Most fuckable. God, that's
his
hard.
Daughter.
That's all right. His wife, who just seems to be a very level-headed person.
The sexy prison guard. Fuckable.
I don't know. I would probably Dave Chappelle. He's funny.
Good.
He's approachable.
Yeah, I know you like Ving Rhames.
He's into plans. Yeah. I mean, Ving Rhames is awesome, but I like Ving Rhames as a person. In this movie, he's very like, I don't know, he doesn't think things through, and he's kind of overbearing. He's got big old arms, though. That's what's up.
Talk about bombing the NRA again.
Yeah.
Yes, oh my God. Tell me about how much you hate the KKK, like right now. Oh my God.
You wrote a book?
Just above Nicolas Cage, I would say, probably is John Malkovich. He's kind of scary. Okay. He's not very approachable. Mm-hmm. He says dumb
Cyrus
shit.
Cyrus the virus. You don't fuck that guy.
The best protection is 50 feet away.
Hey. I feel like if you had sex with John Malkovich, he would request to wipe you down with like wet naps first before he even touched you.
I feel like he would like,
I need to clean your body before you touch my penis.
Oh my God, I can hear it and it's horrifying.
Here's a hard thing. Either John Malkovich or Jonathan Lithgow.
Ooh, that's such a good one. Would you rather? God. Okay, I'm gonna go with John Lithgow because he doesn't seem to think of himself as like such a good like John Malkovich has this thing about him where it's like he's probably a nice person to talk to, but he probably really does think of himself as like an amazing actor.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas like John Lithgow just seems like a good actor who doesn't take himself as seriously.
Yeah, he was in Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah,
John Lithgow.
So I just want to go back to this. You would rather have sex with, you're so woke, you'd rather have sex with the Hispanic serial rapist of 23 than two white guys.
I mean, here's the thing about me. I like a guy who puts it out there and lets me know what he's about. Right. And if a guy's like, I'm a rapist, I'm like, well, I know what I'm in for. So.
I like honesty.
I do, you know?
Also, let's face it. You're married. You're about to be married to a elderly white man. This is fantasy time. You got to go. Yeah, you got to get something.
Right.
You got to get something else while you're out there.
I'm marrying a good man who is white. Why wouldn't the fantasy be a Hispanic rapist?
Yeah.
Hello.
It's opposite world. Exactly.
Yeah, I hate
you're like, don't build that wall, please. I want them coming over very easily.
I hate to say, with Brian, you know, whatever mental problems he has, I think if he can get with me, I can help his mental problems.
No,
be
I don't
a
think
lot
that.
Worse.
I feel like the opposite. Yeah, yeah.
I think he might. We can have like a winter wonderland. Fuck
you
up
could
America
have a winter
fest,
wonderland.
Yeah, this sounds like a horrible. Yeah. There's reasons that we don't let you two hang.
I'd
out.
Rather fuck Nicolas Cage than do that.
Right. Stay away from my bay.
So,
new podcast, Unquality Time.
All right, we're almost at the end here. We're almost done this marathon
Thank
episode
God.
That we've gotten
Never
into
do
here.
Again.
Oh gosh, so,
sorry, Rob.
The now Cyrus suspects that there's a rat, and he goes, "Somebody warned the police, and also somebody tied a rope to this plane."
Okay,
and
tattletale.
So he threatens to kill Bishop unless somebody speaks up, which. Why
kill him
again? Like kill Bishop? Like why is it? Where are all these bargaining chips of people that we don't care about?
You know who would love for you to kill him? Whatever place he's being taken to, their taxpayers.
Yeah,
just end his life. Yeah, $250,000 a year for one prisoner.
Just kill everybody. You don't need.
So baby, aka Bubba.
Can I say I never even saw this movie? I saw Raising Arizona and Leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah. You just accepted that.
Jeremy, Jeremy read the book.
Thank you.
Con Air, the book.
I took the cliff notes.
It's an in-flight magazine. Yes.
Nothing like how the book was.
In-flight graphic novel.
First Con Air, now Wrinkle in Time. They keep ruining my favorites.
It got the Caldecott Award. Does anybody know that? That's a deep cut.
That's a deep cut.
Do you know what the Caldecott Award is? It's like, no. It's the book of the year for children's reading. Oh, like it's God. Usually like illustrated books and stuff, like for very little kids.
I'm pretty sure Con Air was made by the Coen brothers. So
oh, very nice. Yep. So baby, now that he's all fresh and full of insulin pulsing through his veins, gets up and goes, "Yeah, it was him," and he immediately gets shot. And then fucking like, way to go, Nicolas Cage couldn't even.
That's Obamacare for
after
you.
After all that,
jeez, I got your insulin for nothing.
Yeah, he literally like 5 seconds after he saves baby, he's fucking dead. And then Cyrus then picks up the box of letters that Poe had downstairs, and now he starts reading them. So now his cover's blown on top of that. So the whole thing was just completely useless of what a baby admitting. He
glad
just got
I didn't
himself
go to
killed.
See my daughter for all this. Woo.
So
couldn't they just mailed my letters home?
Yeah. Now Poe gets Buck and takes out a couple of people. He bitch slaps the trans man and then he takes to the cockpit. He gets up there and
what a fucking discriminatory way to hurt that person. He bitch slaps a transgender person.
He gets up there and the trans guy's the last person. He just goes like this.
Jesus.
Very,
well, what's the proper etiquette there?
Yeah.
I mean,
you punch him in the fucking face like you do everybody else. It's America.
He doesn't
Thank
hit,
you.
He yes. Doesn't, he doesn't hit women like that. Okay. And clearly,
respect.
It's he punches how you identify.
If
okay?
Caitlyn Jenner went to knee you in the nads, how would you handle that situation? You'd punch her in her fucking titty.
No, I'd hit her back in the dick.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Obviously.
And then we'd fuck.
Yeah.
Because I believe in equal rights.
Give her just a little kick in the cunt. Like that's what you
gotta
do
if she's got one.
We have fun. So
she ready
yet
your name is Bruce.
So Poe ends up forcing a crash landing of Con Air into none other than the Vegas Strip.
Yep, which is like barely 10 miles away.
Explosions abound everywhere. Well, I mean, if we're following along, we're in Carson City. Carson City, I actually happen to know, is the capital of Nevada. So it's at least in the same state.
Okay,
I get
okay,
it. I get right, where they're going with this.
Okay.
Where did this
but
start,
this
though? Didn't you say
Alabama?
Alabama? Okay.
So Alabama to Carson City to Las Vegas.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Very weird way. The Blue Man Group needs to get on top of this. Is so Cyrus finds still finds time while this plane is going down to have a gunpoint conversation with Poe during the crash. Don't brace yourself. Don't do any of that. They have a gunpoint conversation with each other, and luckily a propeller comes through and fucking goes through the fuselage to save Poe from getting blasted by
him. That was pretty cool scene.
And that was pretty fucking cool. It was metal as shit. Now, Larkin heads to find him with the... Larkin heads in to find the... Okay, so the plane crashes. Larkin... played by John Cusack, comes in. Sometimes I read my own notes and it's fucking hard, and then Jeremy shits on me because I read at like a third grade level, and I understand that.
But I write it's at a first grade level, I write so it's, it just, first, it's a fucking though. Terrible.
So Larkin goes in to find all the cons inside of Con Air. Poe and Larkin see Cyrus escaping on a stolen fire truck. Like,
badass.
Bit like, I like it. We're like, we need to make it away. Let's pick something low profile.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's how can we make this fight scene exactly like Speed 1?
Yes, yeah. So, Poe sees his family for exactly 2 seconds, and then he's just like, it's good to see you, darling. Ta-ta!
Right. Yeah,
seen enough.
But more importantly, though.
Again. Immediately leaves again. Poe is able to catch up on motorcycle. So him and John Cusack are riding motorcycles to catch up with a fire truck that has John Malkovich and Ving Rhames on it. Last two bad guys, right? So,
well, they're never going to find a fire truck going through, you know, driving erratically to Vegas. How will the police ever find them?
And by the way, great at turns.
Yes.
Great at high speed. Turning.
Very, very by good way, maneuverability.
I like that Ving Rhames has the ability to run the back wheel for the, you know, he's running. It's
a two-man
operation.
Black, so he had to sit in the back, you fucking asshole. Pieces of shit. Nothing changes.
Now, Ving Rhames is using the water hose on the back to spray off the other
again,
police
the subliminal
that are coming.
Shit going on here.
Yeah. Oh,
and finally, the tables are turned, motherfucker.
And then somebody walks by, I'm with an angry down German the shepherd.
Black gorillas, bitch.
Yeah. So
take that NRA.
But they're able to, both of them are able to get onto the fire truck and climb up. Larkin ends up taking the hose and filling the driver's side, filling the cab, the cabin with water. So like good idea to how to get the truck stopped.
Sure.
Right? And in the meantime, Cyrus is fighting Nicolas Cage on the ladder, and he ends up taking him out by raising the ladder all the way up. And all right, I'll let you know, I watched this scene 4 times. I didn't understand it made no sense how this worked at all. I watched it 4 times. I was like, I thought I was just tired or maybe a little bit drunk. I was like, maybe I didn't see that right. Let's wind this back. This is the best way that I can explain what happens. The ladder is fully extended. He's going like 60 miles per hour. There is a bridge, like one of the land bridges, like people bridges, over top of the highway. It hits that. Cyrus crashes through window one, then crashes through the other side of the window. Cut scene. Nicolas Cage then goes like this. Or like they park the vehicle. It comes off. They jump off as the vehicle explodes. Then you would think the logical thing is that Cyrus is going to land somewhere in the middle of the street and just be dead, okay?
Sure, normal death.
That is not what happens.
Not on this day.
The next scene is John Malkovich crashing onto some conveyor belt. I don't understand. There's no reference to why this is here. And all of a sudden, this conveyor belt goes into a giant like weight that like keeps dropping down like
perpendicular
crushing,
to him.
Yeah. Perpendicular to him, and then smashes his head.
Perfectly on his head.
We don't know. What is this, running a Vegas sign? What is there, a mining operation here in the middle of the strip? It makes no sense. I had to watch it 4 times in just pure disbelief.
The deleted scene was while his head is about to be smashed, Leslie Nielsen is going, there's nothing to see here.
This is Ocean's 14.
Thank you, creators of Airplane.
Good call.
Oh my God. I love that the third time you watched it, you were like, no, I got one more time.
I got it one more time. No, it was 4 times. I was like, wait a minute. I slowed it down. I was like, all right, so am I missing something where...
You're not where missing anything. It's Con Air. I watch it twice and I'm like, you know, it just doesn't make sense. I'm moving on.
How do we make it so that the bad guy gets his head crushed by a thing that... puts the giant things in the ground with the giant air thing. Yeah.
Wordsmith.
Jeremy Woodworth, everyone.
Pulitzer Prize Award.
Zuckerberg's Con Air.
The movie ends with him being reunited with his family, of course, and they're playing the song, How Do I Live Without You?
One more time.
I'll tell you how you live without you. You find a better reason to be somewhere else.
Thank you, Shania Twain.
Oh, can we talk about the bunny, though? Remember, at some point, somehow cash is flowing everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And the stupid bunny that he got for his girl goes down like a sewer, and he reaches down and grabs it. Not all this money that they probably need, right?
Yes.
There's thousands of dollars just floating in there. Nope. Here's the bunny rabbit.
Don't hug it too close. Yeah. You're going to get sick.
Yeah, it smells like shit, but...
yeah. And, it gives it to her, and she... I guess she accepts it at this point.
She's like, whatever.
Do.
All right.
Thanks, Dad. By the way, can I get NSYNC tickets or what?
Yeah.
And that brings us to an end.
Wow.
Of Con Air, everybody. Wow.
Wait. No, there's one more scene.
Uh-oh. No?
There's one more Steve. Steve Buscemi is at
craps
table.
Sorry. Yeah.
What?
Steve Buscemi is free and he's playing craps.
And he's dominating. He has
money. Mean there's a dangerous person walking around Las Vegas?
Exactly. It's crazy.
I was shot in the face.
He has like a suit on somehow. It doesn't make any sense.
He got a suit. There's no reason or rhyme to it. I did have that as the very last scene. You're right.
Wow.
I didn't know that McDonald's didn't sell lunch until 11 o'clock.
Do you think in their heart of hearts they were like, okay, if they let us, we're totally doing a Con Air 2.
Yeah.
And it's going to start with Steve Buscemi as a pilot.
Oh, can we cast it or are we done out of time?
Starring Steven Seagal as Nicolas Cage.
I like that. I knew that there was I read the script for the sequel called Con Monorail, and it looked good.
Con Mississippi Riverboat?
Yes.
Monorail.
How many of these actors would do Con Air?
I think Ving Rhames is in. Ving Rhames is in instantly.
Sequel/ musical.
Trejo is in.
Yeah, Trejo. It depends who picked it up. Because you know what? There's a smart if you're a smart people like at Netflix, you make it to be the funniest, most greatest movie in the whole world, right?
Yeah.
Like, and get everybody on board. They're like, we're going to make Con Air 2. Like, it has to be snarky and fun.
Dave Chappelle plays the twin brother.
Yeah.
He's Cornball or something.
Yes. I'm Cornball, Pinball's brother.
I've raped 23, but I'm ready for 24.
It's his
I
son.
I love rape.
It's Johnny 23 Jr.
Oh, that's so good.
I'd watch it.
I like it. And that's it, guys. That's the end of Con Air.
What an
adventure. Are we excited?
Yeah, good times. Download it. Tell your friends to download it so I can beat Joe Robinson.
Hell yeah. Rob, what else do you want to plug? Tell us more about Joe. Tell us more about Rob Mayer and fuck Joe Robinson. Where can we find you? What can we learn about Rob?
Just robmayer.com, RobMaher. You know, Instagram, Facebook, MySpace,
so
Adult
humble.
Friend Finder.
Yeah.
He was on Comedy Central.
Yeah,
you do the USO tour. You're the one of the fathers of Die Laughing Productions.
Yes.
Get the fuck out of
so
here.
Much better
best
than
friends
Dan
with
Nine
Tiffany Haddish.
What?
That is true. Hey. See him opening up for
Got
Tiffany
her
Haddish.
Phone number.
By the way, we didn't talk about this. Did you show Tiffany Haddish the picture of me in my underwear that I was available or no?
I did not.
Damn it.
But I think she'd like it.
She's ready.
I did have there was a Tiffany Haddish most deaf interesting
situation
where they were FaceTiming in front of everybody, and like I think they were just meeting, and he was totally hitting on her, and it was awkward, and I was not impressed with this game.
Hey, Mose, we're trying to eat sushi right now,
right.
So okay, this is weird.
And he has 11 kids.
Do you think Tiffany Haddish is into like basement dungeons?
He has the most kids.
Yes, I'm sure.
Hey,
she is.
Hey,
yeah, but while he was opening up for Tiffany, we had a Die Laughing show down at Jam in Java, and while we were there, I sent him we had the group text that went out, and it's a picture of me in my underpants, which as I'm likely to do
one
in every
do,
show.
Sure.
You know that's
and then
right.
I told Rob, I was just like, tell Tiffany what you're missing out on. Also, let her know I'm available to fill in for you if she ever needs it.
Well, my master plan is to get Tiffany in our murder mystery. So.
Nice.
When we do the TV show, the murder mystery TV show.
Ooh, hell yeah. I like it.
Yeah. Mm. We do it live like SNL.
I would also vote Natasha Leggero. I love her.
Oh my God. Yeah. I've worked with her as well twice. Thank you very much.
I just want to be the one off to the side to stick my head in from the side of the stage.
Yes, that'll never happen.
Don't worry, Jeremy. You'll be off to the side.
I don't like to brag. I opened for Mickey Coachella. Once.
Oh, so, I just worked with Mickey in Parkville and Wendy Townsend.
How's that Parkville show?
It's a dive bar that does comedy.
Is it fun at least?
I had fun.
Wendy
Townsend?
I had fun.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah. Wendy hasn't asked me to be on it yet, but that's cool.
Never do it again.
Whatever.
I'm
but
fine.
It was fun. That was a good time.
Jeremy, do you have anything to plug? You live in a place. That's cool.
Jesus.
I'm going to be in Attack of the Killer Chickens.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be Attack of the Killer Chickens, a trauma movie, right?
What? No, seriously?
Wow. I might actually be a movie star.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to have sex with a chicken.
I'm excited.
Do it. Jeremy, we're going to have to get in more to that on the next episode. But Kimberly,
trying to open for Tiffany Haddish. I'm like, can you give trauma movies like my Twitter or something?
Flip it.
Kimberly, where can people find you?
Other than my couch and thrown up in my bathroom, you can find me on Twitter at Watch Me Doing This and on Instagram at Panic at the Deli and at the Second Saturday Shit Show, the second Saturday of every month, free at the Auto Bar.
Excellent. Yeah, definitely check out the Auto Bar. Good shows.
Good
shows up there.
Yeah.
Love
cheers,
it all the
mates.
Time. You can find all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com or hop on Die Laughing Productions. You can see all those shows that I'm on as well. Make sure you hop on Stitcher, iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating so we can read it on the show. We really could use your support. And just tell a friend that you like us. Jeremy, leave us with that.
Hey, right. Everybody. You want a cookie? Or maybe some candy?
It's funny because I actually slowed it down so it almost sounds legit. Like.